Welcome to Vision, a series of visits with people of interest. I'm your host, Herb Maltzman. Are you a happy employee? Do you look forward to starting your day? Or do you dread the thought of that 9-to-5 grind? Our guests this morning are two very happy fellas. One gets thousands of New York subway commuters to and from their destinations daily with a smile on their faces. And the other smiling face appears on tri-state area television screens weekday evenings with his unique style of weather prognostication. The first is Harry Nugent, the second, Al Roker.
Perhaps at this juncture, some may be wondering what they have gotten themselves into. Well, you're in the number one, downtown Broadway local, where it's our pleasure to be of service to you with all stops to Southbury, Manhattan.
We are in a dispatch office uptown in the Bronx at 242nd Street and Broadway. It's the IRT, and the number one line is the line that stops right at this station here at 242nd Street. We are with probably the happiest man or the happiest sounding man in the Transit Authority, subway conductor Harry Nugent. Good morning, Mr. Nugent.
Good morning, Herb. Good to meet you.
Okay. How long are you the happiest man with the TA?
Well, I'm glad to hear I'm so happy. I'm glad somebody has told me about this. I've been with the TA for about 14 years now, and opening and closing doors with a smile on my face for the most part and ducking for the other part.
Okay. Maybe it's unfair to say the happiest man with the TA. There are an awful lot of happy people with the Transit Authority, but you sound so happy as a conductor. You're a bit unique. Describe your routine, your attitude as a conductor.
Well, I suppose I'm trying to break through the hostility barrier. I'd like to hear the word happy synonymous with subways, which is something we rarely hear. But I find that when I approach the people with a bit of goodwill, I get a lot of goodwill in return. And it makes for a better trip. People seem to enjoy the trip, and I get some rewards as a result of it.
All aboard and welcome aboard. We're the one, the downtown Broadway local that serves you with all stops to Southbury, Manhattan. Our next stop will be 238th Street. Please stand clear of the closing doors. Thank you.
Now, you have a routine, a shtick, a bit that you do. You travel from 242nd Street down to South Ferry. I first heard you a couple of weeks ago. I was heading down to Chambers Street, and there was a conductor doing a travelogue of the number one line, the system, the route. You have created an image about you, a charisma. Talk about your shtick, your routine.
Well, I really don't know. In terms of a routine, what I've been simply doing is trying to break away from the routine, try to break away from the mechanical, and being a lot more human in my presentation of stations. I suspect I call out a station where a master of ceremonies would introduce an act. Each station has certain individual characteristics that I like to emphasize at times, perhaps even romance and perhaps even exaggerate. But this is the fun of the operation, and the passengers enjoy it. And it also gets away from this mechanical, have a nice day type of quality announcement. And I find it more satisfactory to me and less boring, actually.
Station, where we find Columbia University rubbing shoulders with its gifted neighbor, the Manhattan School of Music. Thank you. 116th Street, our next stop will be 110th on the one, the downtown Broadway local. Please stand clear of the doors. Thank you.
What are your favorite stops on the line as far as your routine goes? What are your favorite stops?
Well, the stops I think I enjoy calling out the most would be 66th Street, That's Lincoln Center, 59th Street, Columbus Circle. Times Square is pretty good. It's hard for me to think of, but there is a cluster of stops, let's say, where I get the greatest response from passengers. And those are among the three top responsive stops. But people come over to me and tell me how they enjoyed the ride. And it was a pleasure being on the subway for the first time. Why, I'm still not quite sure. But nevertheless, those stops happen to be stops where I get the greatest reactions. So I suspect I would enjoy them the most as well.
Give us the 66th, 42nd, and the other one was?
59th Street.
Okay, 66th, how does that go?
Well, usually I'll say 66th Street, Lincoln Center. Vivian Beaumont Theater. Juilliard. The Jewish Guild for the Blind. Of course, I'm out of character now. I'm standing at a dispatcher's office, and when you're calling out stops, you develop a tempo along with the train. And, you know, you're just sitting here coldly and start calling out a stop. This thing sort of develops. It grows with you as you're going down the line. But that is essentially what I'll be calling out, or I might say 59th Street, Columbus Circle, station that serves Roosevelt St. Luke's Hospital Medical Center, John Jay College, the West Side Y, a principal transfer station to A and D trains, plus the B, the C, and the K, and just a little to the right of Carnegie Hall.
This is not the first time you're being interviewed, and I don't know if you've done radio before, but I do know that you've done some newspaper work. You've had some coverage, have you not?
Well, I've been covered by the New York Times. I've been approached by several publications. I haven't seen the result of those approaches, that they go through the channels, through the TA. And I've been approached about going into radio, but as I tell them, I'm already on, this line has 37 stations, and I'm on every one of them.
This is your first radio interview?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
What about research? How did you come about this? Did you sort of walk the route? How did you research this role?
Well, I haven't really, you know, what really came about, it was Mr. Gunn, actually, was the catalyst with me. Mr. Gunn, there was a piece in the New York Times where...
Mr. Gunn Bing?
Mr. Gunn is the head of the MTA, as far as the operations are concerned. And in this situation, it was a piece there where Mr. Gunn made the observation that that the conductor's a little too reticent. There's not enough being said on the train. Perhaps even a little humor, and he referred to his own experience where he humorously described a situation where it was delaying our trades. And I had always felt that way myself. I wanted to be a little more removed from the strictures of the rather tight regulations, at least I thought that I was being bound by. And so I think he sort of was the catalyst in this case. And I said, well, if that's what he wants, that's fine with me, because I'd enjoy doing that anyway. And then out of that is what the development of my calling out stations. But it was one step at a time. I'd say something, and then it'd be a response. I said, oh, people seem to like that. I'll keep that in, you know. And then I'll say something else, and there's a good response. But it isn't always the same. You know, it's like working a room if you're a comedian. You get in a certain room, and you get a good reaction. And you say, this is fine. And then you work a certain way. And people will come to you and say, hey, you're on a roll. Keep it up. Keep it up. The whole car is laughing back there. Not that incidentally, I'm not trying to be funny. Not in a, you know, in a jocular, thigh-slapping, humorous sense. But in a rather sort of a indirect humor. Indirect, probably exaggeration and calling out a station. Romancing a garbage can, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And in that sort of way. But the general idea is it just took one step at a time. And I noticed people responded to this or didn't respond to that. Sometimes I fall on my face, too. And not everybody likes it, incidentally. Some people find it intrusive. But I see the pluses are outweighing the minuses, so I've been carrying on. And the TA seems to enjoy it, which is fine with me.
And you're happy?
Oh, quite happy. Right. Quite happy.
Just briefly, let's speak with the motorman.
Larry Size.
Okay, that would be Motorman?
Yeah, Motorman.
Are you the regular Motorman for Mr. Nugent?
Yes, sir, I am, 4 days a week.
You've been with him for how long now?
Only about a month and a half.
Do you get the same kick in your cab, as it were? Would that be cab?
Oh, yes. I hear him all the way down, all the way back. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't bother me a bit.
Do you have any Harry Nugent favorites that you'd like to pass on to us? Some of your favorite stops.
I don't really have any. They're all the same to me, but I enjoy listening to them.
Okay.
Keeps me awake. Keeps it interesting.
And it makes the job a lot, the day goes a lot quicker, I would imagine.
Yes, sir, it sure does.
Okay. And your name?
Larry Size.
Did you give your name before? I think you did.
I think, yes, I did.
Okay. Larry is also not only a motorman and Harry Nugent's driver, as it were, but also a listener of Visions. Thanks for tuning into Visions, and thanks for the lift today.
You're welcome.
Do you have a regular audience, people that depend on hearing you every day and people that you can look forward to seeing each day?
Yes, I do. In fact, I'm starting to get a crowded train, which is worrying me just a little bit. But I have people, people are waiting for me to make certain type of announcements. And on my last trip, we have a lot of school children. And there you work a little differently with the school kids. You don't want to really call their attention to you that much. You don't want to. And you have to. So I don't make the same announcement with school kids on the train as I do in a normal trip.
You don't need your blue material.
Yeah, that's right. And plan. Anyway, so in this situation, a fellow came knocking on my door, and I was simply making standard announcements, 103rd Street. I may call out the Equity Library Theater or something like that. But somebody knocked on my door, and he said, Mister, he says, you're not making the announcements you made the last time. I said, I'm sorry. I said, we have a very crowded train. He says, yes, but I brought my wife with me to hear it. And this is very, this is what I run into. You know, this guy may be celebrating his anniversary by bringing his wife to hear me on the train. I don't know. But in any event, he had his wife on the train to hear the announcement. I hear other people, they'll say, well, you didn't say in the precincts of the courthouses at Franklin Street. Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I may say something else. So there are people are anticipating certain announcements. They're anticipating my saying a little to the right of Carnegie Hall at 59th Street. Thanks to Faith Gordon, incidentally, at the Russian Tea Room. So I have people who are looking for certain things. But people come to me and tell me I have people stay extra stops on the train. Ride additional stops to listen to the announcement. I have people who, one fellow says, I'm going to get to work late every day because I want to ride with you to listen to your announcements that I should be taking an earlier train. So people do respond, and I'm very glad that they, I don't want them to get to work late, but people are responding to simply warmth and goodwill. I try to give them information. I try to break the hostility barrier that's been built up between the MTA and its ridership, and I think that's one of the things that is being accomplished on my particular trip.
We are talking with Mr. Harry Nugent, the Transit Authority subway conductor and a poet. Stand-up comic or sit down. I don't know what happened to that little room over there. But either a stand-up or a sit-down monologist, I guess.
Well, I don't know. It's if there's any mono in it, it may be monotonous at time. And
no, I said monologist.
Yeah, I know. But in any event, I haven't thought of myself as a poet. Though I've had a poet come to me and suggest I read poetry on the train. He thought I'd be a that would be a nice idea. And I suppose it would be a good idea from as far as Christopher Street would be going to Houston, but after that, I think I'd lose my audience.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. It wouldn't be you. I mean, whatever you do is you.
No, yeah. Well, as I say, I'm rather spontaneous. And basically, I'm a creative person who hasn't had a medium, and I think I've discovered, probably felt very, almost subliminally in the beginning, discovered I had a medium in this, in the public address system. But another factor here, which I really should stress, is that in the past, the reason that I wasn't attracting attention or other conductors, who incidentally, there are plenty of conductors that are equally as good as I am. I'm not trying to take any bows here. I just happen to be probably the flakiest of the group. But as far as the thing that's really made it possible is the newer train, the better equipment.
Because with the little seats, by the way.
Yes.
Those cute little seats.
That's right. And there we have it.
What do you think of those cute little seats? Do you get a lot of complaints?
You know, I look at the people, I kind of, you know, they... Well, I'll tell you, it really brings people together, if nothing else.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off there. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Well, what I was simply saying is that one of the reasons that I think I've been able to make better announcements and we can communicate better with the passengers is that we're getting better equipment. And I think this is an important factor. I think the fact that on the Broadway local, if you notice, we don't have any graffiti. It's a graffiti-free line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the past, we had old trains, we had graffiti, and our announcements with poor PAs were almost the verbal counterpart to the graffiti itself. And since we have now the new equipment, better lines, I think it's definitely better for the morale of the men. And I think it tends to inspire us to do a little more than we would have in the past.
Okay. Are you a New Yorker born and raised, or?
Absolutely. Born and bred in New York. Well, I've lived in all the boroughs but Staten Island. And I've spent most of my time, my latter years, I guess, in up here in... I'm in Yonkers now. I have to apologize for that. But I've lived in Manhattan, and I've lived in Brooklyn and in the Bronx. And
where were you born?
I've sampled in Manhattan.
We have some people to thank before we go on. Termaine Gardner and Don Evans. It's either Termaine Gardner or Termaine Garden, and I'm not sure. It's the TA. And Donna Evans, in any event, I know I got the name right. In the future, of course, you'll be continuing, looking forward to retirement someday, and I guess not looking forward to retirement. This is a joy for you, is it not?
Well, I'm enjoying what I'm doing for the moment. I live from day to day, and today is working out very well. The future, naturally, we all look forward to a time where we could possibly pick and choose what we're going to do in other areas. But this is working out in the meantime. I wasn't doing anything anyway.
Okay, now, when are show times, as it were? When can we catch you on the number one train?
Well,
I know it's a long-running engagement. You'll be staying on for a while.
I leave 7:18 in the morning on my first trip, and I get down to South Ferry at 8:16. So between 7:18 and 8:16, you can find me on the number one Broadway local somewhere, either... soothing or offending passages.
Okay. And your final performance of the day happens?
It'll be at 1:11, and I'll be down at South Ferry at 2:06. We leave South Ferry 2:10, and I'm back up here at 3:05.
Do you work weekends, or do you go club hopping on weekends looking for new material? What's your schedule like daily-wise?
No, I work 5 days a week, and on the weekends, I wonder how the people put up with it.
We have spent the last few moments, actually more than a few moments, of course, with Harry Nugent, Transit Authority subway conductor. We are going to take a short commercial break now. You're listening to Visions on WMCA 570 Radio. I am your host, Herb Malsman. Coming up at the end of the program today, of course, Harry H. Lipstick, internationally renowned attorney with Ask Harry. We are just moments away from... Showtime and all aboard time on the number one train out of 242nd Street. And we'll be traveling down with Harry Nugent. We will also be making a stop at 30 Rockefeller Plaza and head up to the studios of WNBC to the Live at 5 newsroom to meet Mr. Al Roker, another happy New Yorker loving his job. So stay with us. Mr. Nugent, thank you very much for being on Visions today.
Well, my pleasure. It's been an honor, and thank you.
Let's get on board.
Thank you, Carl. We're opening up.
Okay.
All aboard and welcome aboard. We're the ones, the downtown Broadway local that serves you with all stops to South Ferry, Manhattan. Our next stop will be 238th Street. Please stand clear of the closing doors. Thank you.
Street Station, where according to Al Roker, WNBC weather, today will be an excellent day to enjoy a serendipitous walk to Rockefeller Center. We are now entering 50th Street, nicely nestled in the Theater District.
We will be right back. Iola's Pizza Emporium on the corner of 2nd Avenue and 32nd Street in Manhattan is for many New Yorkers the city's premier house of pizza, and a tempting variety is the reason why. Oh, there's the anything but usual cheese and extra cheese classics, of course. But there's also the exotic, like white clam sauce pizza, starring chopped clams and the perfect blending of garlic and parsley. Then there's the irresistible pesto sauce pizza, topped with a sautéed mixture of basil, garlic, oil, and cheese. And Aiello's is more than the greatest pizza in the tri-state area. It's calzones, fresh salads, homemade desserts, and the tastiest original buffalo-style chicken wings this side of their hometown. Stop by Aiello's Pizza Emporium on the corner of 2nd Avenue and 32nd Street in New York City. They're open late 7 nights a week. Or give them a call for free local delivery at 212-683-7746. That's 212-683-7746. Aiello's Pizza Emporium, the home of the original buffalo-style chicken wing.
WMCA, the call letters you can call on. WMCA.
We have entered the 50th Street Station, nicely nestled in the theater district. Street, to be followed by Times Square. On the one, the downtown